of Signpost of the Second Coming. We're going to learn about recent prophetic fulfillments that indicate how near the second coming of Jesus Christ really is. We're going to explore some of the prophecies that have not yet come to pass, but we're going to illustrate that they, in fact, are in the process of happening right now. We need to know that we're nearing the second coming of Jesus Christ. First of all, in this segment, let's consider the fall of the Berlin Wall. I began teaching in 1968 that the Berlin Wall would come down, the two Germanys would be reunited, and that would be the event that would plunge us into the New World Order. I actually wrote a book, which was published in 1986, called A Message for the President. And I stated about the Berlin Wall and about the New World Order. Here's a quote from that book. It was clearly seen by John in Revelation 13:3 that Germany would be divided and that her deadly wound would be healed. As these prophecies are fulfilled, the whole world will follow after the beast, the Antichrist, and be led into his kingdom, which is the one world government. Well, I wrote that in 1986. In 1989, on November the 9th, the Berlin Wall came crashing down. Within 20 days of the fall of the Berlin Wall, President George Herbert Walker Bush at the time, Mikhail Gorbachev of the Soviet Union, and Pope John Paul II met together. They came out of those meetings a mere 20 days after the fall of the wall, declaring the birth of the New World Order. Now, I had been teaching for 20 years that the fall of the Berlin Wall would mark the beginning of the one world government of the end time. But I myself, I'll have to confess, I was stunned that so quickly, 20 short days after the wall fell, the announcement was made that the New World Order had been born. And when they said New World Order, George W. Bush had in mind that eventually the United Nations would become a bona fide one world governmental system. Mr. Tony Blair said concerning the subject of globalization. He was actually making a speech in Tübingen University in Germany on June the 30th of 2000. His speech was entitled Global Ethic Lecture. He said, you could say that globalization started here in Germany with the fall of the Berlin Wall and the end of the Cold War. The term globalization merely means to globalize the world. It is believed by the leaders of our world that nations are our problem. Nations all have their own armies. They come into conflict. They go to war. And thus, we can't have peace on earth. So the theory is we need a world without borders. And we need one army at the United Nations because the one army can't fight with itself, right? So the process of moving from the nation state structure of our world, which they're doing right now, is called globalization. I'm sure you've heard the term globalization, but there's a chance perhaps you didn't really understand it. Okay, so the wall fell in 1989. 1991, the first test for this new world order. Now, the fifth trumpet of Revelation chapter number 9 speaks of a personage opening the bottomless pit. Smoke comes billowing out of the pit, darkening the sky and blotting out the sun. When Saddam Hussein was forced to withdraw from Kuwait in 1991, he set 700 of the world's richest oil wells on fire. The sky and the sun were not seen in Kuwait for the next 3 months. The prophecy in verse 11 of chapter number 9 of Revelation states that the leader of the army that caused the sun to be blotted out would have a name, the Destroyer. It says they have a king over them called the Destroyer. Can you believe that the name Saddam is Arabic for the Destroyer? So Saddam Hussein set the oil wells on fire, causing the sun in the sky to be hidden for 3 months, and the name Saddam means the Destroyer. Now, all this came to pass as a result of a UN resolution. Now the world government is operating. George Bush put together 34 nations to go against Saddam Hussein. He said, this is not Saddam Hussein against the United States. This is Saddam against the world. It's getting closer. 25 miles to Indianapolis. Well, as I said before, national identification cards are required for a totalitarian government. All people who want to enslave us, who think it's their calling to rule us, they always want national ID cards. Well, President George W. Bush signed the Real ID Act on May the 11th of 2005. The Real ID Act gives every American an ID card. You're going to need it to fly on an airplane. You're going to need it to enter federal buildings. You're going to need it to open a bank account. You're going to end up needing it for just about everything. It's nothing but a national ID card. The deadline for implementation of the national ID was to be May the 11th of 2008. However, the states begin to dig in their heels and say, wait a minute, this is a national ID. We don't want this. So the deadline was missed. They postponed the deadline until December 31st, 2009. Still, the states said no. And by this time, 25 of the 50 states had passed laws or resolutions against implementing the Real ID. But Homeland Security was determined. We are going to make sure you're secure, and we're going to oversee your security. And so they postponed the deadline again until May the 11th of 2011. Still, the deadline was missed. And the Real ID Act has not yet been implemented in the United States of America. But the story's not over. I'll tell you more about it later. Okay, so in 2009, another huge prophetic event happened. The prophecy in Daniel 2 that we talked about earlier depicts the coming of Jesus smiting the structure of human government on the feet. This statue, head of gold, arms and breasts of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron mingled with clay. A stone comes rolling down on the mountain, smites the image on the feet, and the Bible says the stone then grows and fills the entire earth, representing the kingdom of God. It depicts the end of human government and the beginning of the promised kingdom of God. Now, the passage states in verse number 44 of chapter 2 of Daniel, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Now, these kings refer to the last day alliance of 10 kings that are symbolized by the 10 toes of the image. The very last part of this image were the 10 toes. In another place, there are 10 horns that symbolize the last 10 kings. In this prophecy, the 10 toes symbolize the exact same thing, the last 10 kings. And the Bible says that these 10 kings will serve as the power base of the Antichrist and his end time one world government. And that's the reason the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire is so important. Now, the resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, like I told you earlier, many people say the Holy Roman Empire died in 1806, but the resurrection began after World War II when six European nations formed the common market by signing the Treaty of Rome in 1957. By 1992, the common market had grown to 12 nations in Europe and had attained total economic unity. Consequently, its name was changed at that time to the European Union. Well, then by 1999, the European Union had grown to 15 members. Most of them adopted a common currency called the euro. The Holy Roman Empire continued to grow, and in 2004, 10 new nation states were admitted to EU membership. Then in 2007, two more nations joined, bringing the EU to today's 27 member nations with its population of 500 million people. The U.S. has a population of about 315 million. The EU has 500 million people. Now, beyond that, in 2008, the European Union passed the U.S. economically to become the world's number one economic power. So this reborn Holy Roman Empire is now the world's number one economic power, even beyond the U.S. Finally, on November the 3rd, 2009, the EU adopted its own constitution. So they have a constitution for the United States of Europe, just like we have a constitution for the United States of America, only they call it the European Union. Now, 2 weeks later, after adopting this constitution, they chose their first permanent president, their first foreign minister. The Holy Roman Empire was officially reborn. Now, remember, the Antichrist and the false prophet will both come from this reborn Holy Roman Empire, and it just occurred on November the 3rd, 2009. We're talking about signs of the second coming. Now, if you doubt, or if anyone doubts, that the European Union is the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire that will produce the Antichrist, the false prophet, consider this. When the EU printed their first money, their first coin, they chose a picture to go on the coin. Charlemagne, the father of the Holy Roman Empire. The Economist magazine, the most widely circulated periodical in Europe, has a special page devoted to the latest developments of European unification. They have a special name for that page every week when the publication comes out. The name of the page? The Charlemagne page. Then Europe decided to give an annual prize for the statesperson that would do the most toward the development of European unification in the past year. The prize was to be $1 million. Would you possibly know the name of this prize? Yes, the Charlemagne Prize. Now, as nations decide they want to join the European Union, there is a building in Brussels, Belgium, which is the capital of the EU, that you must go to make application for membership and also to negotiate the terms of membership. The name of the building to get in the reborn Holy Roman Empire, can you guess? Well, you're right. Charlemagne Building. The Holy Roman Empire was reborn November 3rd of 2009, just as prophesied in the Bible. The empire over which the Antichrist and the false prophet will preside is now reborn, ladies and gentlemen. 15 miles to Indianapolis. Another thing I found so incredibly interesting. You know, in Matthew 24, Jesus was asked, what will be the sign of your coming? And he gave a lot of signs. He said, well, there will be wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places. And as I was studying this recently, I said to my research assistant, Tani, I said, Tani, I'd like to see the pattern of earthquakes over the last 100 years or so. Could you do the research for me? And she did. She came back with this report, and frankly, it stunned me, because here's what she saw. She saw that earthquakes of historic measurement, which is normally 6.0 on the Richter scale and above, from 1901 to 1910, there were 36 of those. In the next decade, 1911 to 1920, there were 26. And then 28, then 40, then 41, and it progressed on till the year 2000. And each decade, if you add them all together and divide them, they averaged about 43 historic-level earthquakes per decade from 1901 until the year 2000. Then from 2001 to 2010, I looked at the figure. I said, Tani, are you kidding me? Can you believe it? 425, averaged 43 earthquakes per decade of a historic level, but in the last decade, 425. No wonder Jesus said there will be earthquakes in diverse places. Well, now we come to the year 2011. In 2011, there was an uprising in the country of Libya against Muammar Gaddafi. And Gaddafi moved to put his uprising down, and by the time it hit world news, he had killed 200 or 300 of his people. Well, there were powers in our world that wanted to eliminate the reign of Gaddafi, so they went before the United Nations and they asked for a resolution against Mr. Gaddafi. The UN passed the resolution, and quickly, Barack Obama, as the leader of the free world, organized the attack against Gaddafi. Now, the UN authorized a no-fly zone. That means we're going to put Libya's planes on the ground so that she will be handicapped, unable to use her air force. So that occurred. But beyond that, NATO began to militantly make war against Mr. Muammar Gaddafi. And the result was Gaddafi was killed. The government of Libya was replaced. Now, all this was done under the excuse of a new clause in the UN Constitution passed in 2005 called responsibility to protect. That's when the world community said, no longer will we say we can't interfere in the internal affairs of nations. Now we say we have a responsibility to protect people against their governments when we feel their governments have been abusive. So President Obama did not go to the U.S. Congress for authority to go to war against Libya, which is what our Constitution says he must do. Instead, he went to the world government, the United Nations, and they give him the authority, and he acted without approval from the U.S. Congress. Furthermore, he used NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization Army, to move against Muammar Gaddafi, and NATO now is serving as the world government army to enforce UN decisions. That shows you how far we have now progressed into world government. Well, then came the prophecy of the book of Revelation, chapter number 9, verse 13 through 21. It states there a war is coming from the area of the Euphrates River. It says in verse 14 that it will come from the Euphrates. It says in verse 15 that the result of this war will be the killing of one-third of the world's population, 2.3 billion people. Now, this is a prophecy. It's going to happen, period. The prophecies always come to pass. Now, what nations are along the Euphrates River area? There are four of them. The Euphrates starts in Turkey, flows down through Syria, then through Iraq, and then empties into the Persian Gulf right at the border of Iran. So you have these four nations. The Bible says this war will start from that area, and it will become a world war until it kills one-third of the human race. Well, you know right now there's a lot of tension along the Euphrates River. Revolution is boiling in Syria. Obama says that Bashar Assad must go. In the meantime, Iran, many people believe, is building a nuclear weapon. Israel says we'll not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. That's an existential threat to the nation of Israel. We will attack first. The U.S. says that she will not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. The negotiations are ongoing even as I speak. Some people think war will break out in this region yet this year. Will it happen? I can't tell you that, but I can tell you war is going to break out in this region, whether it's this year, next year, or the next. I can't tell you for sure, but the stage is being set right now for this war that the Bible says will kill 2.3 billion, not 8 million as in World War I, not 52 million as in World War II, 40 times World War II. There is this horrific war coming. It saddens me to tell you, but it is going to happen, and it's going to be one of the huge signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. Now, there's another prophecy in the Bible that there's going to be a peace agreement signed in the nation of Israel between Israel and the Palestinians. The Bible calls this event the confirmation of the covenant, and when this happens, it will mark the beginning of the final 7 years to the Battle of Armageddon. It's one of the few prophecies we have with a specific date on it. Now, when this peace agreement is struck, it's going to place the Temple Mount under a sharing arrangement so that both Jew and Arab and Gentile will be able to worship there. We know this from Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Do you know that Bill Clinton actually proposed the sharing of the Temple Mount in the year 2000 when he was negotiating at Camp David between Yasser Arafat and Israeli Prime Minister at the time, Ehud Barak? He actually said, let's just share it. Well, that's what ultimately happens because that situation is described in Revelation 11, verse 1 and 2. Furthermore, when this peace agreement is struck, the area called Judea will become a Palestinian state. There's a lot of problems there because there are 300,000 Jews living in this area. And the Bible talks about the Jews which remain in Judea. Many of them are going to remain in Judea under the Palestinian government. Already settlers living there have declared they will not leave Judea even if it becomes a Palestinian state. Now, are you hearing me carefully? I'm telling you that your Bible prophesies that Jews in Judea will be slaughtered. The prophecy is Matthew chapter number 24, verse 16 through 21. It says, When you see the abomination of desolation, then let those which be in Judea flee, because then there will be great tribulation, such as never has been before, nor ever again shall be. The world community has set December of 2012 as a deadline to get this peace agreement done. Will they make it? I don't know whether they'll make it by December of 2012 or not, but yes, they're going to make it. And when they do, the final 7 years to the second coming and the Battle of Armageddon will begin. Ladies and gentlemen, 7 miles to Indianapolis. Now, the Bible teaches that a temple is going to be built on the Temple Mount. Revelation 11, verse 1 and 2, John was told to measure the temple. You can't measure a temple that's not there. And the time when he was told to measure the temple was 42 months before the second coming. So there's going to be a temple standing there. Furthermore, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 3 and 4 says that the Antichrist is going to stand in the temple claiming to be the ultimate authority there. He will actually claim to be God in some form. Well, how close are we to a temple being built in Israel? Well, the blueprints are being prepared right now. Furthermore, all the vessels and all the utensils that will be required for temple administration have now been recreated. They've got the brazen altar. They've got the laver where the priest washed. They've got the golden candlestick, the altar of incense, the table of shewbread. They're all housed at the Temple Institute. I go there every year. They're not replicas. They're the actual item that will be used during the third temple era, which is coming up right ahead. It's prophesied in your Bible, and it's soon to happen. The Bible also tells us that animal sacrifices will be resumed. Religious factions in Israel have already requested permission from the Israeli Supreme Court to sacrifice on the Temple Mount. They did just this last year before Passover. They come before the Israeli Supreme Court, say, we want to go sacrifice. The Supreme Court has turned them down because it would cause a war right now. But once they get the peace agreement and once they build their temple, they're going to start sacrifices. How do I know? Because it states in Daniel 9:27 that the Antichrist will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to stop. You can't stop sacrifices that are not ongoing. Then the Bible tells us when the Antichrist stands on the Temple Mount, claiming authority there, and he will do that because it's already been proposed that when the temple is under a sharing arrangement, when the Temple Mount is under a sharing arrangement, that it'll have to be under international control. Well, he's the international leader of the world. He's going to stand there and say, I'm in control here. I'm the ultimate authority here. And when he does, that signals the final 3.5 years to Armageddon. Now, back in Matthew 24:16, Jesus foretold that the Jews presently living today in Judea as a result of the 67 war, that they will have to run for their life. Now, the Palestinians have said, hey, strike a deal with us. You can stay here. It's going to look good for a brief amount of time. But then some conflict is going to ignite the passions, and the Palestinians are going to make war against those people that have stayed there. And Jesus said, if you're there at that time, you must run for your life. If you're on your housetop, don't even come down into your house to get your clothes. Run for your life, because then shall be great tribulation, such as never has been before, nor ever again shall be. One of the last signs is the mark of the beast. National ID cards are being implemented around the world. In 2007, China distributed cards containing RFID chips, starting at age 2 and 3. India in 2010 adopted computer chips with built-in, with national ID cards with chips built in, and they are giving them to all their 1.2 billion people. Russia in 2012 is also implementing a national ID card. The United States of America has set a deadline now of January the 15th, 2013, to implement its Real ID program. Homeland Security is saying this deadline will not be delayed. We'll see. And I think we're about 3 miles from Indianapolis. Finally, the Bible says the international community is going to invade Israel at the Battle of Armageddon. Zechariah 14:2 says, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. When the United Nations, when NATO went against the government at Kosovo, there was one of the officials that said to Ariel Sharon, you better get your problems with the Palestinians settled, or the UN's going to have to come to Israel and settle your problem for you. Well, it's going to happen. Zechariah 14:2, God said, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. But when that happens, Jesus Christ will plant his feet on the Mount of Olives. We're talking about signpost of the second coming, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you believe we're living in the end times? If so, what's the one magazine you should subscribe to? End Time is the magazine designed to guide you through the end times. Irvin highly recommends End Time magazine so you can stay informed with what's going on in the news and how it relates to Bible prophecy. Call 1-800-363-8463 and get End Time magazine for 2 years for only $29. Call 1-800-END-TIME or go to endtime.com to take advantage of this special offer.
Our 14 lessons now include the United States discovered in the Bible, New World Order is world government, Islam in Bible prophecy, World War III, Israel's God-given destiny, Israel, God's prophetic time clock, Holy Roman Empire reborn, Antichrist and the false prophet, 666 Mark of the Beast, the secret pact between Gorbachev and the Vatican, when all religions become one, the seven trumpets, the second coming, and the kingdom of God established on earth. You want to have all 14 of these marvelous prophecy lessons. If you go through these 14 DVDs, each of them 1 hour, you are going to know more about Bible prophecy than the average student graduating from theological seminary. We need to know where we are right now. Jesus Christ said, I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe. So the number to call is, one more time, 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or go to endtime.com.
Carrie Shook's highly rated program is now on a new schedule.